like people ain't listening. Amen. On the verge of giving up. And so I've been wrestling for the first three months of this year. Like, Lord, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? See, some of y'all just getting started on your walk with the Lord. And when I say just getting started, you got to look at it like when you get saved, you a newborn baby. So if you just started this walk maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago, then you a two-year-old, you a toddler. You don't know nothing. You still on milk. Amen. But I want y'all to understand that as I'm saying that, if I'm telling y'all that I was just been saved 20 years, then I need you to think back that when you was 20, if you 20 in the world, how much you knew at 20 years old, you still don't know nothing. And I remember one time Pastor Carter said, I'm still trying to figure out how y'all got it all together, how y'all got it all the answers, and I'm still on the first step. Hallelujah. So I've been wrestling for the first 3 months of this year. Amen. I've been wrestling, and I've just been sitting in my, and Pastor T just keep asking me, are you all right? And some days I would say yeah, and some days I would say no. It was just depending on how I felt that day. Because every day was different. Some days I felt like I could go on a little further. Some days I'm like, Lord, I'm still not sure. I'm still not sure. And I say that because I know that it's him keeping me. When I sang that song, I know it was the blood. That's exactly what I mean. I know it was the blood. As I have gone through as I have gone on this journey, I realized that it's him. He's the only person keeping me. I don't even have no title, y'all. Amen. This is Palm Sunday. So this is the Sunday before Easter. This is when Jesus is entering the city. This is when the people are crying, Hosanna. If you didn't know, that's why we sang that song at the end of church. They are announcing his coming. They are announcing that the Messiah is coming. This is the Sunday before he gets on the cross, right? And so I just stand here on this Palm Sunday saying, God, I love you, Jesus. I love you. I'm still committed to you. I'm still committed to you. And everything that I do, Lord, I do for you. Everything that I do, Lord, I do for you. And I say I do that because, you know, I love my wife. Hallelujah. But I can't put my trust in her. I love my children, but God has taught me I cannot put my trust in them. I love y'all, but God has taught me I can't put my trust in y'all. Because when I begin to do that, and life starts life and things start happening, it will make you want to give up. And I got to tell y'all, now, I don't want you to think that I'm just wrestling because I'm going through. I've been wrestling with my daughter stuff. I've been messing, you know, y'all. See, some of y'all wanted to hear the sermon last Sunday, not because it was the word. You just wanted to teach. You just want to know what she done said about herself and her divorce. And I learned a long time ago. That some people don't really want to know how you doing. Right? Even when they, you know, they using the Lord to make you think that they on your side. But they really want to see you fall. Hallelujah. I've been wrestling with her stuff. I've been wrestling with my brother's tiredness. Hallelujah. I've been wrestling with some of y'all marriages. I've been wrestling with some of y'all consistency. I've been wrestling with what my children doing. I've been wrestling with my parents' old age. I've been wrestling with what my niece and Warner Robins going through. I've been wrestling with, I don't know what my son in Columbus is doing. Just asking God, Lord, hold all of these things together. And as I'm wrestling with this, see, this was the problem. I had started to try to carry all of this weight on my own. And that was the thing that was making me want to give up. And so this past week, as I began to search for scriptures, because I didn't know whether I was going to preach this Sunday or Easter Sunday, Pastor T kept asking me, are you going to preach? And I said, Lord, just give me what you want me to say. Give me what you want me to say. And I'm telling y'all, he took me to the book of Ecclesiastes. And I want to tell y'all something about the book. That is not the book that you need to go to when you need encouragement. That is not the book that you need to go to when you need encouragement, because Ecclesiastes is going to tell you that it's all vanity. Ecclesiastes is going to tell you that life is pointless. Ecclesiastes is going to tell you that it's a time and a season for everything, life and death, war and peace. Ecclesiastes is going to make it real. You know how sometimes you like all you people when you just giving them God, and they like, but it don't make sense. Like I want like a right now where I want something I can touch. Ecclesiastes is the book for that. But let me tell you, when you read that, if you're not mature, it's not going to encourage you. It's going to discourage you first. And you're going to have to dig deep in yourself before you get encouraged. Psalms 90 tells us that our years, that basically God gives us 70 years. And then the word says, if you're strong, you get 70 plus 10, 80. If you're strong, you get 10 more. You get 80 years to walk this out. I began to divide that thing up. If you divide 70 by 4, if you divide your life into quarters, it's about 17 and a half years in each quarter of your life. So I began to think about where I was when I was 17 years old. I had experienced my parents going through a divorce, and my father moved to a whole nother state. I got an autistic brother. I watched my mama cry. I watched my sister cry with my mama. I don't know what my brother was doing because he's autistic. And I was wrestling with all that by myself. Nobody really ever really talked to me about how I felt about what was happening in my house. I was on my own to figure it out. All I knew was I loved my dad and I loved my mama. I wasn't going to turn my back on either one of them. At 17 years old, that's when I made up my mind, when I do get married, I'm never going to cheat on my wife. Because I don't want to see my wife go through what my mama went through. And I'm telling y'all, I love my daddy to this day. He was a good father. He never did anything to me. But we don't realize how the things that we are doing, just our day-to-day life, those little things that we are doing is shaping the future. It's shaping the rest of our little years that we get. Thank you, Lord. At 17, I wasn't going to church. If I went to church, it was with my friends because they had to get up and go to church. And that was, so maybe that was three times a year. We went to church all the time. I can remember vaguely when I was like 10 or 11, we went to church. But I don't know what happened between that time and 17. We stopped going. And it's like when my parents were going through that thing, I remember my mother going back to church, but she didn't take us with her. Maybe because she thought we was teenagers and we was driving and we was doing our own thing and she wasn't going to force religion. I don't know. Nobody. To this day, I still don't know. But I know that's what, when I got older, she told me that's what kept her through the divorce. See, that's when she rebuilt her relationship with God. But I'm still on my own. I'm still getting ready to go off to college without a relationship with Jesus, without knowing who I am or what life is about or what I'm supposed to do. So I end the first quarter of my life. I end 0 to 17. I end the first quarter of my life with no direction. And I enter the second quarter of my life lost. I go off to school lost. I go off to school trying to fit in. I go off to school drinking. I go off to school smoking. I go off to school fornicating. I go off to school just trying to figure it out. I didn't have no Papa John to mentor me. I didn't have nobody in the classroom playing gospel music to try to read the Bible with me. I didn't have no Pastor Carter yet. I didn't have nobody pointing to me. I didn't have my parents lecturing me on the salvation of my soul. I didn't have any fence put up around me to protect me. Some of the stuff that y'all don't want. Some of the stuff y'all feel like is unfair. I didn't have people calling out my sin, telling me you gonna go to hell or to give your life to the Lord. I didn't have that. I entered the second years of my life lost. Lost. Lord, I thank you for finding me. I thank you for finding me. I done pulled my sticky note out of here. Lord, I thank you. So the second quarter of your life ends at around 35. Some of y'all haven't got there yet. But I say that even if you haven't got there yet and you are approaching it, I want you to realize that half of your life is over. Half of your life is over. What have you done with it? What have you done with it? Why are you worried about getting married? Why are you worried about these little relationships? Why are you worried about chasing money? Why are you worried about building generational wealth and all of this stuff? Half of your life is over. And I want you to know that all that wealth, all that house, and all that stuff that you get, your children probably ain't gonna even want it, or they gonna waste that money that you saved. Half of your life, 35 of your 70, what have you done with it? Have you spent it truly loving people? Have you spent it telling people about Jesus? Have you spent it asking forgiveness for the things that you've done wrong in the first quarter? In the second quarter, have you made things right? Hallelujah. Because there's some people in here. There's some people in here that'll tell you marriage will fail you. There's some people in here that will tell you children will fail you. There's some people in here that will tell you the money is not the solution. There's some people in here that'll tell you about losing a job. There's some people in here that tell you about how your best friends will turn their back on you, tell all your secrets, and then smile in your face. While you worried about all of that stuff, what have you really done? What have you really done? Hallelujah. With the first half of your life, I entered the second half of my life. I entered my 20s lost. I went to Atlanta, and I remember so vividly the day I packed up and came home. I just said, this ain't something. I remember the thought just being in my head, this is not it. This can't be it. This can't be it. This can't be all that there is. This cannot be the purpose of my life. This cannot be. I packed up all of my things. I moved out of my apartment. I left stuff in there because it could not fit in my car because I knew I was not coming back. And I went in my room. I went into isolation and I began to just sit with the Lord. Didn't know I was sitting with the Lord, but that's what I was doing because ain't nobody tell me about Jesus. Nobody told me about sitting with God. Y'all, we telling y'all about sitting with God every other week. Nobody was telling me to sit with the Lord. Nobody was telling me you need to read your word. Just read one. Now, nobody was telling me the stuff. And that's why, Lord, I'm like, you know, am I wasting my, this is me now. That's why in 2024, I'm sitting there the first half of this year feeling like I'm wasting my life. God, I'm giving people everything that I wish I had and they don't want it. Amen. I'm giving them everything that I wish I had. I wish I could pick up the phone and call Pastor Carter right now. But see, we don't miss people till they dead. Yes. Then all of a sudden, every sermon I preach, it's going to make sense when I ain't here no more. Yeah. All the stuff I say to my children, it's going to make sense when I'm not here no more. Ecclesiastes tells us to, this is Ecclesiastes 12, it says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Remember your creator when you are young. So many of y'all are putting him on the back burner. You putting him on the back burner thinking you got time. Hallelujah. Well, if you in your 30s, half your life is over. Tell me, anybody in here know somebody that died while they was in their teens? Anybody here know somebody that died before they reached 30? The word say if you strong, you might get 80. Remember that creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Hallelujah. See, when you get older, see, now that I'm in the third stage of my life, I'm past 35. Now that I'm in the third stage of my life, I don't think about things the same way. When I was in my teens, I'm driving drunk. I'm staying out late. I stay up to 3 a.m. and get up at 7 and just go do whatever I want to do. I travel. I go hop in the car with my friends and we go to Tallahassee for the day, spend money reckless, ain't worried about nothing. Ain't worried about nobody. Just acting foolish. Wasting time. But then when you get older, see, it's starting to sink in with some of y'all now, especially the ones of y'all that want to be married. It's starting to sink in because you ain't got that baby yet. Because you ain't got married yet. Because you look at your bank account and you looking at social media and you like, man, all these folks out there, they got houses now and they doing this. It's starting to sink in. Hallelujah. But that feeling is not for you to go chase those things. That feeling that's starting to sink in, that's trying to get you to chase God. It's trying to get you to chase God. Because the Ecclesiastes is going to tell you all that stuff that you're chasing is vanity. And so as I'm struggling and I'm like, God, do I even want to do this anymore? And I read this. I'm reading this and it's like, it's confirming that it's pointless. It's the Ecclesiastes is confirming that everything that I'm trying to do is pointless. But that's not the, you got to be mature. I told you, you got to be mature to get to the hope in the story. You got to get mature to get the hope in the book. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, this is the person that is struggling with. This is the person that knows God, but that is still struggling, trying to make it make sense. And he's trying to make it make sense, not in these high theological like realms, just using church words like Paul in the New Testament. He's making it make sense right at the down here where we live in that. He's making it make sense. He's giving you the meaning of life. And the 12th chapter is the last chapter. I started at the end because I know some of y'all might not read. He says, remember the creator in the days of your youth. Don't wait till you get old to start trying to live for God for real. Right. He say, before the evil comes. When you look at little children like Ellie, they don't understand evil. She don't understand everything that's evil in this world. But when you start to get old and you start to realize, like, whoa, uncle did this to such cousin. Whoa, granddaddy did this to this person. Whoa, mom and daddy, it wasn't always as good as I thought it was when I was 2. Whoa, people out here getting murdered. Whoa, my best friend on drugs. Whoa, this person got cancer. This person got AIDS. This person had an abortion. Whoa, people getting murdered. Man, it's homeless people out here. Man, it's wars out here. You start to realize those things when you get older. And what the teacher, because that's what Ecclesiastes means, it means teacher. What the teacher is telling you is remember God when you are young so that when you get old, you got some tools to wrestle with all this evil stuff that you see. Some of y'all done lived your whole life and that's why you can't get right because you have not been deeply rooted in God. To the point that you have somebody taught you how to wrestle out all the trauma and stuff that's in your life. He says, remember the creator while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, talking about your legs. I remember my grandmother before she passed, I would look at her and think she was so cute, but she could be moving like this. Slide across the floor with her bedroom slippers on. But some of y'all won't even stand up to praise God. While you can get up, while you can bend, you don't have to lean on nothing to stand up out of the chair. The teacher is telling you to praise God now, because it's going to come a time, if you are strong to live to be 90 like she was, if you live to be that long, it's going to come a time when you start shuffling across the floor. Lord, I thank you. He says, remember him in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves, talking about your shoulders. Y'all ever notice how it seems like the older you get, people start shrinking? When you're young, you can stand up straight. You can carry more weight. All y'all young men, all y'all young men in this house, you supposed to be carrying weight right now for your family. And I ain't talking about making money. I'm talking about spiritual weight for your family. Because there's going to come a time when your shoulders start to slump. And all the energy that you had to fight, you're not going to have no more. And somebody going to have to see about you if you're lucky enough to have that person. The teacher, I'm talking about, he laying it out. He's laying out what's supposed to be happening. He says, and the strong man shall bow themselves and the grinder cease because they are few. Talking about eating. When your teeth start to fail. I want you to know, y'all can go to Kiara all you want. You can work out all you want. Kiara can work out all she want. Father time is undefeated. Eventually, all that exercise still ain't going to get you no more than 80 years. 90 years. Yeah, y'all don't see no 200-year-old people walking around. If it was that easy, everybody be working out. Everybody be eating good and eating clean. Y'all understand what I'm saying? The teacher is laying it out. He's telling you to remember God. He's telling you to put first what needs to be put first. Lord, I thank you. He says, remember the creator, fourth verse, when the door shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of grinding is low and shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. This King James version is so poetic. He says, it's going to come a time when, you know, you can, just like I was saying, when I was young, I could stay up all night and then pop up. It's going to be a time when it's going to be hard to get out of bed, y'all. Some of y'all right now, you spending your youth laying in the dark, watching TV on your cell phone. Don't never come out the room. Just laying around. It's going to come a time when you wish you could get out of bed. I don't know how many of y'all went to minister house and saw Granny laying in the bed up under the cover. She went thinking about moving. She went thinking about going to the bathroom. She went thinking about what's the next trip I'm going to take. Life had caught up. Life gonna catch up with some of y'all too. What you doing with it? Lord, I thank you. Fifth verse. Remember the creator also. Right? Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and the fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be burdened, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth into his long home and the mourners go about the streets. What, Pastor? He's saying there's going to come a time, right? How many of y'all go out at 2 o'clock in the morning? How many old people you see out in the street at 2 o'clock with their walkers on their little thing at Walmart? And you don't go out because you're scared to go out. You don't know what's going to happen. You can't see no more. You ain't trying to drive. You just stay in your house. And be still. The word says that we have to work while it is day, because night coming. Night coming when no man can work. Some of us, you need to start doing whatever it is now. You need to start doing whatever it is now. And I realized, I said, Lord, forgive me, because I have spent so much time focusing on purpose, 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 purpose. Helping people find their purpose, purpose. Y'all just need Jesus. We just need Jesus. I just need to help people find Jesus. If you don't find Jesus, you ain't going to find nothing else. All that purpose stuff, that's so vain. All that purpose is to make yourself feel better, to make you feel like you're going to accomplish something. Y'all don't care what you accomplish. If somebody here tell me the exact day that Kobe died or Martin Luther King died. Tell me the exact day and the exact hour. Now, they famous, and y'all don't even know that. But you striving for purpose, to make it feel like you done accomplished something. You can't accomplish nothing outside of the will of God. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have nothing. Nothing. Lord, I thank you. The seventh verse says, then shall the dust return to earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Every single breath you take is because he allows it to be in your body. He allows it to be in your body. He allows his spirit to be in your body. And some of y'all won't even take care of it. Some of y'all won't even take care of it. You smoke it up. You drink it up. You sex it up. You don't allow it to rest. You can cover up. You keep buying you can buy bigger clothes. You can buy smaller clothes. You can buy real weave or fake weave. You can get your nails done. I don't care what you do. Me and y'all can lift them weights. You can run. You can get them fiber sprayed across there. You can get the beard all glossy. Eventually, it's going to fade away. It's vanity. All of the things that we do is trying to preserve or make us feel like time ain't ticking. I got to get the wrinkles from under my eye. I got to dye my hair. I got to look this way. I got to do this. Ooh, I'm so fat. Ooh, I'm so this, I'm so that. Skinny fat, you still gonna die. It's Ecclesiastes. Long hair, short hair, you still gonna die. Smell good, stink, you still gonna die. I told you, this is not the book for encouragement. This book right here, like just how I'm giving it to you, it makes you feel like life is purposeless. But that is not the purpose of the book. The purpose of the book is to try to get you to understand what is important. None of the things that we do, none of the things that God has placed here for us to enjoy are enjoyable if you don't have God. When you read the book, Solomon says, I had 700 wives. I got 300 concubines. I done had all the sex in the world. It's vanity. I got all the buildings and all the money. It's vanity. I had all the food. He'd tell you, I went on a drinking binge. I just said, I'm going to just eat, drink, and be merry. I'm just going to party. Then he turns around and tells you, it's meaningless. The point is not to say don't enjoy life, but some of y'all think that you got God while enjoying life, but really, you just enjoying life and you don't have God. The eighth verse tells us, it says, vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise. And this is what I find myself. This is why I say, Lord, I just had to wrestle. I had to wrestle because, you know, and I want to apologize to my wife. I want to apologize to my teachers and minister. And just not because I feel like I did something wrong, but I want to make this very clear. I want to make this very clear. The word says study to show yourself approved. But if the Holy Spirit don't unlock the word that God give you, I don't care how well you put together a sermon. Because y'all understand, like, I got 4 degrees. I got 4. I got some certifications too. You come to my house, you'll see my library. You'll see where I've read all of the books. And I did that. I went back to school specifically because I wanted to be able to explain the word to people in a way that made sense. I wanted to give them the deep things of God. But what I'm coming to find out is that all of that is vanity if I can't live it out. If I can't preach a message like this, if I can't put the paper to the side and trust on God to give me a word, it's vanity. It's vanity. That's to make me feel smart because I see all the fancy stuff on Instagram. But if I can't just preach a word that's going to make somebody want Jesus without dressing it up or coning it up or even sugarcoating it so that y'all feelings won't get hurt. We say, we walk around and say we love people, but when they get hurt, we don't go talk to them. We talk to other people about them, but we don't talk to them. How many of y'all ask your sister, are you okay? Are you okay? But you love her. Ask her if she okay, but you love her. It's vanity. Stop playing church. Stop playing church. It says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So what I have been giving y'all is wisdom. What I'm giving today is wisdom. Wisdom still has a place, but without Jesus, nothing I say is going to make sense. Some of y'all are not going to get it until you're in the third quarter of your life. I pray it don't take you to the fourth quarter. I pray it's not the deathbed. I pray it's not the hospital bed when it's like, oh man, there's so many things that I wish I had done. And now you like, trying to scramble, or well, while your children sitting there, while little Holly's sitting there, she grown now, and she's sitting there, and she like, you know, Dad, what you want me to do? I would hope that all those things, all the things that she need to know would be told to her while you can still move and breathe and walk and talk and love and show and correct. I hope that she's not trying to figure out, Daddy, how am I supposed to live when y'all getting ready to get out of here? So the preacher, as I'm coming to a close, the preacher did not stop giving out wisdom, right? The word, the 10th verse says that he sought to find acceptable words. That's what I've been doing. I've been trying to find these acceptable words, right, to explain that which is written. To make it upright, right? I've been trying to use the word of truth and to deliver it. But then the teacher says, you know, when he began to realize that as he's giving these good words, the 11th verse says that these words of the wise are like goads. And a goad is what they would do is when they are trying to lead an animal, they would take a stick and they would put a sharp point on the end of the stick. And then they would stick the animal. And that would make the animal go like goad. They would poke it because it would be uncomfortable. And what the teacher is saying is that's exactly what the word of God is like. It's like a sharp goad, right? It's like a sharp goad. And it says it's a sharp goad which is given from the shepherd. The word is like a sharp, pointy stick. It's a sword that is given from God to poke us, to make us uncomfortable, to make us uncomfortable so that we want to change, that we'll move in the right direction. And then the last little bit, these are the last three verses of that chapter. This is 12, and it says, and I'm coming in, JJ, and it says, and further by these, my son, be admonished, for making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Y'all, I done read it. Teacher Tony joked me because she was saying, Pastor, it seemed like you done preached the whole Bible. You teach through all the books. You done preached some of everything. Like you almost done preached the whole Bible. But I'm telling y'all, as I've been going through this year, I've always told y'all that the word brings me comfort. But I wasn't finding it. I was reading it and I wasn't finding it. I was reading and it wasn't telling me how to deal with my daughter. I was reading and it wasn't telling me how to deal with my marriage. I was reading and it wasn't telling me how to deal with the church. I was reading and it wasn't telling me how to deal with my fears and my, I know it's in there. I know it's in there. Because God has been so good. I know it's in there. Of what I'm saying, I'm not saying that God left me. Just all my fears, all my doubts, all my weariness. Because I have been trying to make the word do what I wanted the word to do. Instead of letting the word do what it does. So the teacher concludes with these final two verses. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the conclusion of the whole. It sounds so simple. Pastor, what you mean, fear God and keep it? I don't care what you do. Whether you preach or you don't preach. Whether you sing or you don't sing. Whether you're working at Auburn, the state of Door, the county. Whether you're a doctor or a lawyer. Whether you're rich or you poor. In the end, none of that is going to matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. What is he telling you to do? I ain't talking about no purpose. I'm talking about what is he telling you to do in the right here, in the right now. Is he saying move? Is he saying go? Is he saying stop? Is he saying start? Is he saying pray? Is he saying walk? Is he saying trust? I'm talking about what is he asking? What are those things that he's asking to do to save your soul? You trying to figure out that thing that he asking you to do to make you rich. What is that thing he asking you to do to make you comfortable? What is that thing that he's asking you to do for you to get your husband? What is that thing he's asking me to do to make it all right? What is that thing that he's asking me to do so that my mama will be healed? What is that thing so I won't be lonely? What's that thing? No, he don't care about none of that. What is that thing he's asking you to do so that your soul will be saved? So that your soul will be saved. The whole conclusion of the matter is to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty. Not parts, not let me, yes, if I'm gonna love God, I'm gonna do what he tell me to do, and I'm gonna do my old thing. No, he said the whole matter, fear God, keep his commandments. Why? For God shall bring every work, not some of your works, every work. The work from the first quarter of your life, the work from the second quarter of your life, the work from the last two quarters of your life. He's going to bring every work into judgment. Right? With every secret thing. With every secret thing. All the stuff you're thinking in your heart. All the things you done said behind closed doors that you ain't even said to nobody. Speaking evil of people, gossiping, finding fault in folks. He gonna bring all of that into judgment. I told you last Sunday that in the Bible, there is a winning and a losing side. Make sure you on the right one. Stop thinking you so wise that nobody watching, that nobody see, that it's harmless. God see you. He sees you. He's going to bring every secret thing, whether it be good. Why is that important? Because you should just be doing good to do good, not to be seen doing good. Trying to be seen doing good is evil. Trying to be seen doing good is evil. Jesus told him, go in the closet where nobody see you praying and pray. He's going to bring every secret thing, whether it be good or bad, into judgment. So I don't, like I... That's why people should come to church, microphone died. I don't know when. I pray that this makes sense. It's just the tip of what I've been feeling, y'all. It's just the tip of what I've been feeling. I know God is getting ready to do something with me. I've made up my mind each and every day. I just try to do right by people. I'm saying that knowing that I still got a lot of work to do. There's times on my job when I should just keep my mouth closed. And so, but it is so hard to walk in this world and not get tempted to do wrong. I'm just talking about, you know, when you walk up on somebody and they gossiping and you stand up for 2 minutes to listen, I just be wanting to walk away. But I stand there for 2 minutes to listen. Or might not even say nothing, but just smile. I don't even want to smile at you. But I told my wife, I said, I want to take a vow of silence. I just want to go in the room and be quiet. And she was like, you know you can't do that, right? But that's how I be feeling sometimes, because I'm like, when I look around, I just be looking like, man, not necessarily in here, but just like, man, all y'all fake, man. Y'all, everybody walk around thinking they smart, know how to fix the children in the school, and everybody think they know about relationships, and everybody a financial advisor, and everybody know what to do, how to eat right. I'm like, everybody think they smart. And I'm like, if everybody know all this stuff, why is the world such a jacked up place? We need Jesus. Can I just have simple old Jesus? What you think that baby think about right now? None of the stuff we think about. I'm trying to be like that. Just simple Jesus. So I challenge y'all to be unashamed for God. I challenge you to praise Him, to stop being afraid to pray out loud, to stop being so stiff, men, that you can't clap your hands or open your mouth and say hallelujah. To pick up your Bibles, to do right by people, to say no to things that you know are not right. To just like, I ain't even talking about no ministry stuff. I'm just talking about just each and every day. Try to do right by people. Try to do right by God. Each and every day. Just try to do right. Even when people do you wrong, try to do right by God. That's the purpose. Because everything else is vanity. It's vanity. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Y'all come on, give the Lord a hand.